But yeah, so today it's been a busy day. Danny and Amber was up at 7 this morning. Obviously, Danny had to pick his car up from holiday to go to work. So they both come up and we had a coffee and a chat. They had a lovely time and they was really blessed and relaxed. And then I had a call from Leanne, come and pick me up at 1 o'clock, Papa. So I went up and picked Leanne up with Maya and Vinny, and we went up to Kingswood outside Boswell's Cafe where we took you, Anna and Pedro, and we had a coffee and I had one of those cheese and bacon baguettes again. And then we took a walk along the high street, and that's where we bumped into Jason. He was just coming back from doing something there, and then we made our way home, and then Kim come back from work, and Leanne kept Kim busy with Maya and Vinny in the hot tub, and so Kim's pretty tired, aren't you, darling?
I'm exhausted, yeah.
She's exhausted, but I like it like that because she's quiet. I was joking.
The last 2 weeks has been hard.
Oh, it's been I tell you what, when I dropped you off, it was all right that day, but the next day, when I woke up, my eyes were, like when your eyes are puffy and heavy. Yeah. We both woke up like that. Poor Kim had to go and do a little job, and I had, poor me had to relax here. Well, I had to do the house duties, you know, dogs and Hoover and stuff like that, yeah. So.
Feed the cat.
Yeah, feed the cat. But we found out tonight, a lady knocked on our door. So Murphy's been going in, the cat, over to this old lady and been sitting on her lap and being fed. She's getting the best of both worlds.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So I don't know who else is joining us tonight, but there is Frank and Annie. There's wonderful, beautiful Amy, beautiful you and Pedro. And then there's me and Kim. So I think we just get started now, and then whoever comes on. If these guys turn up, they turn up. If they don't, they don't. They can always catch up on the internet with it. So, and I don't know if Nancy and the guys are going to join, because it looks like they're enjoying their water club. Jammy them. I wish I was with them. So who would like to open up with a word of prayer? And whoever opens up with a word of prayer can begin to share and take your time, share what's in your heart. Okay, go for Amy.
Heavenly Father, wow, we have access to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you, Father, for just how you made this plan from the beginning of time so that you can fellowship with us, so that you can show yourself strong, so that you can bless us, so that you can give and give and give. And we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for the greatness of this fellowship, Father, that we have one with another and with you, Father. And we thank you, God, for just being our Father, for choosing to be our Father, for choosing to have us as your people, for choosing to bless us, for choosing to enjoy our fellowship with you, for choosing us, Father. Thank you. And I thank you, Father, that your love is what turns our hearts, God, and that love just gets poured out. So I thank you for this fellowship and each and every individual on Skype tonight. And for those that couldn't make it, I thank you for blessing their lives. I thank you for just, you know, your hedge of protection around them, God. And I thank you for pouring out great love and mercy and grace in their lives, God. And I thank you, Dad, that you've already done that in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. And I just thank you for this wonderful evening that we get to have with you, being pursued by your goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and thank you. Amen.
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 So, let me see. You know, we get older. I want to share this because I was listening. I saw a couple things that I listened to the other day. What's that guy's name? Brandon was sharing something. Brendan?
Yeah.
Brendan, yes. And you know, he shared his heart, and it was just so wonderful, especially when he got to a place where he was talking about how, you know, he had those circumstances, and in the face of those circumstances, and in the pain and through the tears, he was thanking God. And, you know, every day that I have the privilege of waking up on this side, God shows me something more of himself. And I remember one time Dr. Rowe said, like, dawn slowly. And he meant, like, you know, us. When it comes on, you know, it's like, dang. And then I've been thinking about this, you know, when the return comes, there'll be so many things that, you know, when I look back and, dang, you know, I could have done that, and I could, and I thought, you know what, I don't want to say that for too much more longer. I just want to do what it is. And it's this thing about who we are. You know, I don't know, when you finally get this picture, the shift in the mind, whatever it we want to call it, because we put names on everything, but that's just in our way to try to define things. I realize we can never get our heads wrapped around God, so we have to really quit trying to do that. We can never get our heads wrapped around who he is, so we really ought to, no, Amy ought to quit trying to do that. Because, you know, I, in my mind, I want to understand. But what I really need to know is that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he chose to fellowship with me. And I mean, like, me. But there was a hindrance there, and it was not because of me. It was because of an act of one person. And this one person's act decimated the entire generations of human beings after that. And God, in his love, went through every, you know, all these he made these sacrifices, and he gave them to man so that man could get into this just a little time be in fellowship with him, because there was a price that had to be paid. There was a righteous judgment against the act of Adam. There was a righteous judgment against the act of Adam. And that righteous judgment was paid for by Jesus Christ. So whenever the enemy tries, you know, you're unworthy, you're not good enough, see, you made the bad decision again, look at this. And whenever he tries that stuff, oh, that is such an ugly lie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so, oh, I can't even think of a word for how malicious those lies are. Because of the payment that our Lord made. And I was reading this book. I don't know if anybody has heard of it, but it's called Our Approach Offering, Jesus Christ, Our Approach Offering.
Okay.
And I've read it before, but I picked it up yesterday, and we just have no idea who we are. We are so important. And it only required one person. That one person put us in such a huge position. It is, I mean, you know, Dr. Rowe used to say a long time ago, you know, I wish I knew to live to be the man that I knew to be. And I get that. Because the longer I live, the more I understand what it is that Jesus Christ did for us and how big our God is and how important we are to Him. There is nothing that God will not do for us. And sometimes we walk down those paths of arrogancy and ignorance and unbelief, and I imagine that it just wrings His heart because we don't have to. We don't have to. We have this fellowship. Like I said, I was reading this book, and when I'm reading this book, I started thinking, you know, in Genesis, when God comes looking for Adam, you know, where are you? And I think to myself that, you know, how often He must say to us, well, where are you? And, I'm right here, Father. I'm right here. So, anyway, we are so very important to God. There is nothing that He will withhold from us because He gave us, and He's God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who made us and created all things for us to enjoy. And He gave us this life, and I am so glad that I am at the place where I am right now so that I can learn more about who He is. And I look forward to the day when He gets up, when Christ comes back and we get up and we are arise with Him, meet Him in the air. I look forward to that day, but I promise you, I am not going alone. I'm going to go out and start telling just about everybody. If you hold still long enough, I will tell you about what He did. And I realize that the world is there is a huge lack of reverence and awe for God. And so my prayer for people is that they just, that awe and the respect and the reverence for God just returns to the hearts, that He makes those hearts, He breaks them up so that they're malleable and that He can work with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, we have no idea. And I actually mean that. We have no idea. I'm just thankful that we got a glimmer of what's in store for us. Just a glimmer. Because He is so big. It is just, you know, even the literation that is given in, you know, some of the prophecies that are written, like in the book of Revelation, things that Daniel wrote, and some of the stuff that Ezekiel wrote, is just, you know, those things are there, but sometimes, you know, we just don't know how marvelous God is. How big He is. And I thank Him that He promised in His word that if we draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto us, and He'll make Himself known. Jesus Christ said He has declared the Father. So, anyway, that's what I wanted to share. I'm going to go on and get started again. I'll be another 20 minutes doing it. But I'm just so very in awe of how big our God is. And there truly is only one God, and everything else is a lie. I mean, it's not even about religion or what people think. It's really not even about what you think.
Amen.
Who cares what you think? What you think is going to get you killed. Oh my gosh, it's all about Him. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it.
Amen, sister. That's right on.
Yeah. So anyway, I see David.
David, God bless you.
I see you drinking. Can you hear us, David?
You need to unmute your microphone, David, perhaps.
I think it's unmuted. Maybe you have a bad signal, maybe? Excuse me.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you.
And I'm mean there.
Oh, he's gone back off again. Maybe his signal might not be so great.
Yeah. But Frank, darling, how about you? What would you like to share with us this wonderful evening? Frank?
Hey, Fida. God bless.
I'm here. God bless you.
Great.
How you guys doing?
Yeah, we just began. So, Amy shared a great sharing. And she's passed it over to Frank Juvenet, and Jason also just turned up as well.
Thank you very much, Amy. Thank you, Lawrence, and God bless you all. And I'm very blessed to be in this fellowship. And yesterday with Amy, we listened to us. A teaching, and I don't know if it was a world teaching of, Amy began to share about it, you know, with Adam when God went to and see where was Adam when he sinned. He said, Adam, where are you? And he didn't say, Adam, how are you? He said, where are you? Because Adam left the presence of God, you know, when he just sinned and disobeyed God. He just was far from God and his light and his wisdom. And you know, he said, where are you? And God found a way for him and Adam to be again, you know, in connection, in a kind of. And yes, now I'm blessed. And the teaching was from Miles Monroe.
Miles Monroe?
Miles Monroe, then. It was interesting. Okay. Then we recognize, you know, that we, you know, when we had this word of God and that life bring us to hear about it, and we accepted, you know, that we were from Adam, and Adam and Eve, and through the generation, seeing what was in the humanity, and now we are, you know, we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, and we believe that God raised him up from the dead, and we are no more who we were, in a kind of say. I am no more Franck Jouvelier, you know, the old one, but I am the new one, you know, identified with Christ, being able to do everything that he did, and we are sent in the world to speak the world, to be who we are, to be who we are, because we are identifying ourselves to Christ, and we know that all he did, you know, we were with him, you know, when he was crucified, we were crucified with him. When he resurrected from the dead, we were resurrected from the dead. And when he ascended to at the right hand of God, we were ascended at the right hand of God. And now that we accepted his the salvation from God through Christ, we ascended at the right hand of God, seated in the heavenlies in Christ, and we are in the presence of God, and nothing can separate us from God. And the word of God said, from his love. And we are like deepened in him, you know. It's like we open a door, we enter in the Holy of Holies, and the door is closed behind us, and we can't go back, you know. It's like we accepted Christ as Lord and believing that God raised him up from the dead. And all, and this is a new beginning, this is a new light, it's a new, completely new thing. It's like a reborn. We are reborn in a kind of way in him, and being in him, we are in him, and the God is in us, and there is a connection, and there is a this conversation, I can say, you know. And God gave us the means to speak to him, and it's like he's speaking in tongue, it's speaking with our mind, and Christ has done all the job, you know. He lived, he suffered, and he resurrected, and now, you know, we anticipate what is to come, like the transformation of what is celestial, you know, terrestrial in the celestial, and the body that is terrestrial is first, and our body that would be will be celestial, that will come when Christ come back, and it will be like the twinkling of an eye. And but we are ready, you know, we know it, and then it won't be a surprise for us, because we know it shall come to pass, because God is faithful, and it will come to pass. We don't know when. We can see the scene around the world, you know, wars, tremblement de terre, different things that we have in the Bible that we could see, but we don't know. You know, some say, oh, it will be in 2020, in 2012, yeah, that was before, but we can't say anything about the date, the time. But we are sure it will come to pass. And we have a great hope of what is to come. And we can rely on God, on what he has said in his word. And yes, it's a joy for us to know that, and to persevere, and to keep the vision of God in our life, because God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And in the Old Testament, he used the angels, the two-thirds of the angels who were faithful to God. And now it's different time. He can use the angels, but now we have the ministry of reconciliation for us. We can speak the word and share, you know, what's in our heart to other people, other persons. And yes, we are ambassadors for Christ, and there is a world over the world.
Calm now.
That we can really act, you know, and but it's only by faith, and to keep the vision of that, and keeping our heart on God, then this is great. And there is the Bible, the written Bible. There is a Rhema word, you know, it's kind of the revelation of. From God, you know, directly in us.
God. Yep. Okay.
And yes, and it's good. Then this is what I wanted to share. I'm very blessed to be, I'm very blessed, but I want others to be blessed too, you know, and come to the knowledge of the truth and see our God is great. And as you expressed, Amy, and it was very clear and very deep, you know, very simple but deep. Then now I'm going to let Annie want to. Okay, then I will ask.
Nothing special.
Nothing special.
No.
Okay, thank you very much. And I just.
Thank you,
Frank. If David is on the call, I will say David. Otherwise, I will say Anna. Okay, Anna.
We're going to save Anna and Pedro to the end.
Okay, d'accord. Okay.
So
then it will be Veda Rollins, please. I pronounce well your name.
Veda.
Veda.
God bless you.
Can you hear me?
Hello, darling. We can hear you.
Oh, hi. God bless you.
God bless you.
wow. I guess you guys had an exciting and busy week, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I really have anything to share. I, let's see. I guess I could share this. I had a kind of a challenging week. I think I mentioned to you all about the new job that I had applied for.
Yeah.
And so last week I went out to do some shadow the person that I am contracting under. And that was very good. I got to see a lot. But my heart was inside of me was stirring up because it's like the process has been going on very long. And I just, I saw where it was mostly because she was dropping the ball, okay? So I guess maybe fear got in my heart because it's like, well, you know, I really don't want to stir up anything and confront her and not get it and, you know, and seem like I'm not a team player and I end up not getting a contract. So all these type of things was going through my head. And, but I had to. I just, something, you know, compelled me that I had to confront the situation because it's just the way men of the world do things. And, you know, meaning us too, when we're not following the ways of God, you know, our ways are crooked if we're not following God's ways, right? It's just it's the world and the schemes of the world. It's just there's nothing good in it. So if we're not bringing truth and light to it, if we're not bringing the kingdom of God to it, then there's no light shed on it. So that behavior continues. And I know, you know, with everything we do and open our mouth, there's always a walk, a spiritual walk with it. So it just kept rubbing me. So I said, you know, I'm going to talk to her boss, and I'm going to let her know that I talked to her boss, which is the state of Georgia that we are contracting through. And I emailed her, and I told her, I said, well, you know, and I was very tactful with it. I'm just like, I was told that I could do A and B until my billing license come in to kind of tie me over with some income until that license come in. And the information she sent back was like, oh, we don't have any of your information. All I have is your initial interest contract, which I did in April. And I'm like, wow. I see why it was on my heart to really send that in, you know. So what I did is I sent her all the certifications that I had done, because you have to go through a long process to get to the point that you get your Medicaid license to bill. And I sent her all that information, which she had absolutely none of it, you know, and she's the person that's over the program. And I told her I had completed everything except for, you know, well, I had completed that too, but I was waiting on my license to come back. And so she gave me some information and stuff. But then in the meanwhile, the person that I'm contracting under, I tried reaching out to her and she has not responded back. She did respond to the lady, you know, through another email, but she has not responded back directly to me. And, but I, you know, I emailed her and I told her this is what I'm doing, you know. So it just, it reminded me that, you know, sometimes, you know, people, and I'm not saying that she was being dishonest, sometimes people just, you know, they drop the ball, and I guess that is to being dishonest. Even if you're not working and doing what you're supposed to be doing, that still, I guess, in a lot of ways is dishonesty, you know, because you should be, you know, lining your life up with the things of God. And I was thinking about how, you know, it doesn't matter how it feels, because that did bend me out a little bit, because it's like, oh, now they may decide not to give me a contract because they may look at me not, these are thoughts going through my head, you know, me not being a team player or stuff, or they may do something different, you know. But it reminded me of, regardless to how or the situation, regardless to the situation, God is still constant. He is still there, regardless to what is going on, how we may feel about anything, you know. He is still there. And we just have to stick with it, regardless to how we feel about it, or, you know, what we think should be happening. So it brought me to, you know, how deep is my roots? My roots, that tree that's grounded, you know, how deep are they? Are they truly deep and grounded in God? And no matter what the situation, or no matter what you may be feeling, you know, because feelings are no guarantee for truth. No matter what you may be feeling, it does not make it truth. God's word, it has to be the standard, you know. And I started thinking about Jesus Christ and how, you know, that news that I got, it kind of shook me a little bit. But how constant he was, even with the news that he had gotten that he would be nailed to a tree. See, he knew his story, you know. It had been prophesied. He knew what he was here to do. And still, he was able to carry out his life each and every day, still knowing this. You know, I guess if we went to the doctor and they told us, you know, we're going to die, you know, at age, how was he, 33 maybe, and be nailed to a tree. And, I mean, you know, could you still be that constant and have that trust toward God regardless to the situation? So that's what it made me think about, how constant he was, and still knowing that, you know, he was going to lay his life down, you know. And even the day that, you know, they took him, you know, he still was constant with what God had promised. He was still so assured on God's ability to take care of us, or to take care of him. So are we that assured of God's ability to take care of us regardless of the situation? So how grounded are my roots in the truth of God's word? I mean, how deep have I digged in to get settled that no matter what it looks like, what it feels like, God is still constant, you know? Because I started having a pity party. Well, maybe I should go back to the other job. Maybe I should have, you know, the thoughts, the endless stuff that comes to your head when things doesn't work the way that maybe you think they should work. So I thought about this verse in 3 John, where it says that, For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. You know, God knoweth all things, and he knows there's an enemy that always trying to, you know, he's the accuser. He says in Revelation, he accused the brethren day and night, and that's what he does. He accuses us. You know, he tries to take us out of our identity of who we are. We are righteous. As a matter of fact, I think that, because I did read this down further, let's see. No, it was another verse that talks about how, you know, we are righteous regardless to, it doesn't matter. We're right. Christ settled the score. He paid the price, you know. We are right. In a court of law, nothing can be, can come against us. We've been acquitted because we're right, and that's how right God has made us. So regardless to what the circumstance may be or what have you, we are still right in the sight of God. So I was just thinking about some of those things here the last day or so, because you know, our heart sometimes it does condemn us, but God is still greater than our heart, and he knows all things. And that we have to just, you know, continually I'm reminded that I have to put on the mind of Christ. And what does that mind look like? Well, it looked like someone who always followed the Father's will, who always did the Father's will. Him and his Father is one, you know, to be one with my Father. Okay, God, what are your thoughts towards me? What you know, regardless to what the world does, because the world, you know, it's hot one day and cold. No, it's probably cold every day and cooler the next day. It will probably be a better analogy of it. you know, it's just not a whole lot of good stuff that comes out of it, you know, outside of us as lights being in it, you know. So it's going to throw you some stuff, you know, which we have the ability to change that stuff, but it's going to throw us some stuff. So being constant in that and being rooted and grounded in who we are and our identity in Christ, because we are Christ. We sit before God now, just as Christ, and keeping that mind picture, that identity. And what happens is that when you start to look at something long enough, you start to do that. You know, if I put in my mind that I'm a princess, and I started thinking that I'm a princess, eventually I will, even if I didn't before behave that way, I will start behaving that way, you know, because that's my identity now, that's who I am. So your behavior follows that. So I learned to put on the mind of Christ more in situations. It's the goal that I have, and being constant in that, rooted in that, and not being knocked over completely. You know, I may sway a little bit, but not being uprooted from who I am and what I am and what God has given me. So I guess that's what I count on my heart today.
Amen, sister.
Let's see. Who do we have? Who can I throw the ball to?
Right, you got... Who have we got? Is David on? No. There's Kim, there's Jason, and there's me. And we're saving Anna and Pedro to last.
God bless you all. And as Lawrence shared, we had a wonderful week. I was very blessed to get the week off work and just to be able to spend quality time with Sangit and Beatrice and Lawrence. We had a few day trips. And, you know, even though we were up early, we didn't pick them up. We gave them chance to rest and to catch up on their sleep as well. But we had some wonderful day trips, and we took them to Bath, we took them to Minehead. Obviously, it was Maya's birthday as well, so we took them to the birthday party. And then on the Friday, we picked them up about midday, thanked the lady in the Airbnb, and which was absolutely wonderful, a lovely place right on Chew Magna Lakes,
just very quiet location, very villagey, but the surroundings, I mean, you're on the outskirts of Bristol, not far from Bristol Airport actually, and just real proper countryside and just beautiful scenery. But on that last day, we went, drove them to the airport, and as Lawrence said, it was, we had about 45 minutes wait until Anna and Pedro arrived, and it was such a blessing because their flight was late. And but it was quite funny because Sangit and Beatrice couldn't check in for like a whole hour, so we got time to spend together, Anna and Pedro, myself and Lawrence, Sangit and Beatrice, and then we said goodbye and we brought Anna and Pedro home, and we just had a wonderful, it was a quiet weekend really, to be honest. We'd done a bit of shopping and we took them to Bath, and we were out for a beautiful meal on the Saturday night because it was Anna and Pedro's 28th wedding anniversary on the Sunday. But and then I said goodnight Sunday night, thinking that nobody would be up when I left for work Monday morning, but everybody was up.
Before her.
Only just. And this week, so I've got no news on Sophia or Hope, because this week I've been in a different area, standing in for somebody else that's on holiday. It's been a tough week, been doing about 100 deliveries a day. It was starting around 9:30, finishing around 4, so it's only for this week while he's away on holiday, so I'll be thankful to get back to my own job next week. But I had a message from someone this morning, just basically asking me, did we fellowship with Sangit Baines? And my first thought was, I'll tell Lawrence. So I told Lawrence, and he said, well, I wouldn't answer if I was you. And then I just sat there and I thought, no, I'll give this to God.
So you do what you want.
Do what you want. So I gave it to God, and my first reaction was to just write the truth. And I said, yes, we fellowship with Sangit and Beatrice. We had a wonderful time of fellowship. And then it all just flooded. God just filled the words into my mouth and I put it to paper. And, you know, there aren't supposed to be divisions. The reason there are divisions is because people big themselves up, or they think that they're better than someone else. And then the division comes. And we all know that pride goes before a fall. But at the end of the day, if we are all serving the one true God and we're keeping God first, there shouldn't be division. The only two commandments that we live by today is to love God and to love our neighbor. And that neighbor, it could be anybody that's next to you, but also it says that we are to be especially good unto them of the household of faith. And that means whether somebody's done you wrong or not, or, I mean, I haven't done this person wrong, but this person just wanted to know because they don't fellowship with this, with Sangit. And I think they seem to think that nobody else should either. But at the end of the day, I know I could name 5 men on one hand, and they are all great ministers. They are all great men of God, been in the Word for many, many years. And each one of those 5 won't fellowship with the other. They don't agree with one another, and they will not be in the same room together. They go their own way. And this saddens me, and it saddens God, I'm sure, because God has placed each man, woman and child within the body where it pleases him. And we have no rights to judge someone else for what they're doing. If God is at the foremost of that person's heart, mind and life, and God is leading them and guiding them, who are we to judge that person? Who are we to say, well, why is he doing this, or he should be doing that? God's the one that's leading him and guiding him, or leading her and guiding her. So I just very lovingly responded back, very similar to what I've just shared with you guys on the Skype. And, you know, at the end of the day, we are not the judges. God is our judge. Nobody else has a right. We have the rights to love one another, to encourage one another, to support one another. You know, and that's not always down to finances. It may be that support comes from praying for someone, or you know, encouraging them, or speaking the words of love. You know, there are many ways of encouraging one another. And at the end of the day, if you can go to bed knowing that you've done your best for God that day, it doesn't matter what any man, woman or child thinks. You know where you stand with God. You know what God's placed in your heart for you to do. And if you've done that, then God's pleased in you. You know, we are God pleasers, not men pleasers. And at the end of the day, we don't have to fear what man will say. You know, I've had many friendships throughout this 30 years of being born again. And it's always a man or a woman that has hurt me. God has never ever hurt me. God has always been there to support me, to encourage me, to bring my desires to pass. You know, when I go to God and I pray, I see those prayers come to pass, and they come to pass very quickly. Not that I'm any more special than anyone else, but that God wants us to have those needs and wants. God wants us to have those desires, and he especially wants to bring them to pass. So that when we live a life which is more than abundant, then that has a knock-on effect to the people that are in your lives. Because it may help build their faith, it may encourage them to see that God comes through. It's just that we have to stick in there and be faithful to God, not faithful to man. So I did write a very loving report back, and I've just checked my phone now and I haven't heard back from this person. But at the end of the day, I know that God doesn't want division, and that division only comes from one place. And he wants to steal, kill and destroy from each one of us. So the more that we can walk in love, that we can be honest with ourselves and honest with God, then like Lawrence said, you know, there's no harm that man can do unto me. And when I say man, I mean man, woman or child, you know, no harm that can come to me, because my God is faithful and is my God I trust. I put my trust in God, the true living God, and I see him come to pass on a daily basis. But in the meantime, we still have to, you know, fellowship together, encourage one another, love one another with the same love that Christ had. You know, I know now, even if Jesus Christ hadn't died that day, the ones that put him on that cross, he would have still tried to have got them born again. He would have still poured his heart out to them. You know, he did say as he was, you know, before he died, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nobody's done me that harm. You know, nobody's actually crucified me. So what then stops me from loving someone else? And even if they want to big themselves up and they want to be the big I am, that's fine. I can still love them with the love of God, and knowing full well that in return, you know, God will work in their hearts to bless me. So it's not about ego trips, and it's not about I'm the man of the, you know, that everybody should follow, but that we are fellow heirs, joint heirs. You know, we are, God doesn't see me any different to Lawrence or to anybody else on the Skype. He sees us as his kids, as his inheritance. You know, he put his spirit in us, and we can be very powerful, very dominant in the fact of we got that spirit in us, and we can walk by that spirit. And that spirit will let you know good from evil. It really will. So when we stay connected to God, we have everything we need to be mighty ambassadors in this world today. So if after such a wonderful week with Sangha and Beatrice and Anna and Pedro, you know, I'm praying for a quiet weekend. so I can just chill and spend some time with my lovely husband, maybe our grandchildren, because once Maya gets here, she never leaves. But you know, that we can just genuinely love one another and encourage one another. And that's why I'm so thankful for this Skype, because there's nobody on here that's better than anyone else. Nobody is like, I'm the big I am, that we can just get on here and love one another, encourage one another. And I'm so thankful for this Skype on a Thursday night. So bless your hearts.
I mean, you know, God is restoring these broken relationships to those that are willing. And, you know, we got to be, you know, have a willing heart. And if you're willing, then God can do so much through you and in you and by you. And he's a faith God. He, you know, he's a God of love. And that's that love that energizes the faith in us to do. So we need to be walking in love. Now, that's the first key. You know, walk in love with God. And there's no such, you know, keys, if you know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the first thing is the love of God in our renewed minds into manifestation. It needs to be evident. We can all say we love each other and I love you, but love is shown by actions and
love
deeds.
God can give no evil.
And there's, you know, God's love is unconditional to each person. And as I was sharing with certain people, you know, if there's a disagreement or we don't agree on a doctrine issue or whatever, you just put it to the side until God reveals and shows you or shows the other person. But what there is, seems to be a habit and a pattern that from the believers that we fellowship with, is that if you disagree on one thing or a couple of things, you're out the door. You're, you know, you're believing doctrines of devils and all this kind of stuff. And if someone is wrong on a doctrine, you don't have to just make a big deal of it. You just go to God, Father, open up their hearts, let them see. You know, because God is the one, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Remember that song? You know, and if someone's heart is like that and they're believing something wrong, God will show them. And so, you know, and he's shown me a lot of things. I've changed many times when I thought I had something right and I was dead wrong. But when I got humble before the Father, and I said, Father, like, you need to show me, because if I'm not seeing it, I don't know if I'm deceived or if I'm not seeing something, but you do, reveal it to me. And he does in his time. And when we're ready, we got to be ready. Are you ready to do these things? You know, so just be ready. Just be willing. You are able. God is with you. He loves you. Take your needs to him. Practice to take your needs to God. Don't tell anyone your needs. If people are walking by the Spirit, they'll see that need. And God is able to use them as an avenue to bless you. And so, you know, we don't tell people too much about our needs. You know, because we go to God, we want to prove God in our life so that he gets the glory. You know, not man. We're thankful for anyone that sees that need and ministers to it. You know, because God has worked them. But then we know it's God. And then our faith is increased so greatly. Jason is going to share. And then we're going to give it over to Anna and Pedro. So, Jason?
My heart, when I first started praying to God, I had no idea about the Bible. I had no idea how to pray. And I just spoke to God. And he answered my prayer. And from there, he took me on a journey. I was a teenager at the time. I went through a couple of churches. I saw the bad side. I saw some good. I learned to speak in tongues, not because they knew how to teach me, but because I was inspired in my heart. And I really desired and believed to do it, so I did it. No one talked me through that. No one taught me it. And when I was 18, I left all the churches, went the wrong direction totally, got in with all the wrong people you can think of. And then at 20, well, for that 2 years, I get a little thought in my mind, you're going to come to a crossroads and you've got to make a decision. Now, even though I didn't attribute that to God speaking to me, it was God speaking to me. And I acknowledged the thought every time it came. And I paid attention to it. And then one day, at 20 years of age, somebody told me about Home Bible Fellowship. I purely went there with the pure intention of knowing what is God's will for my life. Not what are the rumors, not what are people saying about other people, not what is this, what is that. What does God want me to do with my life? What's his plan? What's his purpose for me? And from there, I've never let go of that. That was 27 years ago. And since then, I've seen the most amazing things. And I've come to the heart of God. And several years ago, when I wasn't hearing anything taught on the subject, I asked God, what did he want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to see? What do you want to show me? Each day I'd pick up my Bible and I'd ask him to guide me. Where do you want me to read? And the first verse I came to was Jesus Christ said, he who believes on me shall do the same works as I do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He also instructed his people that if he doesn't go, he can't send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which gives us all the enablements to carry out these things that the Lord Jesus Christ showed people when he was on this earth. He moved with love and compassion. And I was thinking just now about the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, right? They had slightly different views between them all, and yet God didn't choose any of them. He chose one man who was meek and humble to listen to his direction, who knew the whole Old Testament. He had all the knowledge. And when he went out, he looked to God for his guidance. And the first two men to come to him came to him. He didn't go after them. And I believe that was Peter and Andrew. Or was it John and Andrew? They were stood with John the Baptist. And Jesus Christ just walked past. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God. So they were walking behind him for a while before he turned around and said, what do you want? Why are you following me? They said, Master, where do you live? And he said, come and see. There's your first home Bible fellowship. There were no Pharisees. There were no people opening up this, like, oh, you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. It was just talk. They were talking in the language they were in. And it would be like me walking out of my home in the morning. I would just ask God, you guide me today. I give my day into your hands. And someone crosses my path, Father, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say to this person? And I was sat somewhere the other day having food, and somebody walked past that used to come to the fellowship. And he's had problems, in all fairness to him. But he ignored me, and I thought, fine, you know, whatever. But then he came back and came in and sat down, spoke to me, how's everything going and all this. How's Lawrence and Kim? I said, why didn't you go and ask him? Because that's what I'm like. If people want to know about somebody, they should go and ask them themselves. Not go through me. Hey, look, you know, I know how they are. I talk to them. Why don't you come on up and find out for yourself? How's the fellowship? Come on up and find out for yourself. I'm not interested in talking about other people. I'm only interested in doing what God wants me to be doing day by day in my life. Out on the streets, people need to see the light, not the darkness. And when I said I came because I wanted to know what God's will for my life is, I'm no leader or anything. I'm not like a gift minister. I'm helps, because God has shown me this. He's revealed it to me over the years. And so I have a function in the body of Christ. I am so thankful that I have a function, and God has placed me where he wants me to function particularly. And if anybody's listening who's sat in the background thinking you're nothing, think again, because God can do more with you than he can do with the proud, the high-minded, those that puff themselves up. They got all the Saturn and the rest of it going on. God can do tons more with you because of your heart. And the heart is what God looks upon. He doesn't look upon the knowledge. He doesn't look upon who's got the greatest faith. He looks upon the heart. And then he works with that heart to bring the faith to fruition, full fruition. The love has to be in there with the faith, because without the love, it's not genuine faith. Faith to move mountains, the Apostle Paul spoke about. He said, but without love, I'm nothing. That was the great Apostle Paul. I haven't met anybody that was greater than him. I've met people as great as, but I haven't met anybody greater than that. And when I see God at work in an area, the last thing I want to do is run somebody down or think they're wrong because of what I know in the scriptures. I'd rather go to God and say, Father, is this of you or not? And I've put things to the test over the years, and God does show me things, and he'll show anybody that asks him. ask for wisdom. He's not going to hold it back from you, is he? And Adam and Eve didn't have a Bible. In the Garden of Eden, they were perfect. They didn't have a Bible. Right? Yet they knew all about the stars. They knew about the creation, who the creator was. And there they walked, king and queen of the whole earth. And now we have the same privilege of walking as kings and queens on this earth. But if there's divisions and people are not sure about people, things like this, it's not going to work. It's going to hinder the purposes of God moving. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. We know this, it says it in the scriptures. Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty, the freedom where Christ made you free. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is all this tittle-tattle among believers. And we get tittle-tattle in the world. It's tittle-tattle. We've got to separate ourselves from all that. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord of hosts, right? And we know that not all the believers mentioned in the Bible were always at fellowships. The prophets in the Old Testament, they were on the run all the time because people were after their lives. Man, where was their fellowship? And look at Elijah. He says to God, all the prophets are dead. They've been killed. Now they're dead. They want to kill me too. And now I won't speak to them anymore. I'd rather sit under a juniper tree and die. But God had his way of working with Elijah in a wonderful way that got him back on his feet and moving again and protected his life. Where was Elijah? Where was his fellowship? Where were the people around him? Right? But he just went and did exactly what God wanted him to. So, this should be our hearts, man, just to follow God, not to get involved in all the wrangles, Pharisaic stuff. It's no good. It just defeats things. But something I do know, I was shown years ago, was heal the sick, Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. What was the free receiving? It was the Holy Spirit, the power from on high to be able to do those things. And outside of Christ, it's impossible, or it's devilish, and it won't bring the results of God. But we're in Christ, and we are in Christ. No matter what, whether we've done right or wrong, we're still in Christ. And we can still walk in that power of that Holy Spirit and show the compassion of God to people and the love of God to people, which Jesus Christ came to fulfill in us. He fulfilled it in his own life and he came to fulfill it in us. And, you know, God says, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. And what is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. And I was sat here listening earlier, and I walked 3 miles to get up here today, and it's a lot of uphill, and it was warm, but you know, I had so much peace in my heart, and it wasn't because I felt it, it was because I knew it was the peace. And I was just blessed, man, totally blessed. Yet, if you'd looked at me this time last year, my legs were in agony all the time, I could hardly walk anywhere. And even doing my work was difficult. And God's just healed my legs. Showed me wisdom here and there, how to go about things. And my legs were completely healed. I walked up here shocked, because I thought, I haven't done that for a long time. And as I was walking, though, as well, some parts of the route remind me of where we were in France as well. I just thought, oh yeah, it's just out of France, man. You're only in France, you don't see a car for about half an hour to an hour in some of these parts, but it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And you know, I was saying to God, oh, can I get a lift or something? So I missed the buses. It wasn't because I left late, it's just that
buses are all over the place.
Yeah, so, but I had the most amazing time walking up here with the Father. And when I sat down in Ransom Kim's living room, I closed my eyes. And it was like I was in the bosom of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not afraid to say that to anyone. Whether they know the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation and backwards again, back to front, all the Greek words, I don't care. I know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know when I'm in his rest. And, yeah. You know, for me, that is the most important thing of all. I know we get under attack. We get under attack from believers, and we shouldn't be attacked by believers at all. We should be supported and encouraged by them, right? And it should be the same throughout the whole body of Christ. You say you're a believer, then prove it and walk in that love, right? like I said, I'm not a leader, but if I see leaders carrying on, and I look at the scriptures and I know what God's showing me, I'm thinking, get out of here. I don't want to follow that. You know what I mean? I want to follow the ones that are doing from their hearts the will of God, the leaders. And I spent some quality time with Sangha. I had a great privilege to get up here before anybody else got up here on the main fellowship time on the Wednesday. And we had a great little conversation. And all that kept coming to my mind was, he is so humble.
Yeah.
He really is so humble. And so, and Lawrence said to me, it's like being with Jesus Christ. He'd said that to me a couple of days before. And when I was a Sangha, it was just like an example that Jesus Christ set for us.
And it's not that you're putting him on a pedestal either. So.
I'm not putting him on a pedestal at all. But I know a lot of people have run him down. I've heard people spreading rumours. But I haven't heard of these people going to him face to face and asking him the truth. And speaking to him face to face about it. And that is wrong. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't talk to everybody else about what you think until you've spoken to the person concerned.
One on one, yeah.
And I'm not saying this to attack anybody either, but it needs to be said. And if we're going to live for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to do it straight up.
Yeah.
When the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees came to John the Baptist's baptism, he said, "You generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Did he act all nicey-nicey towards them?
No.
No, he didn't. What did Jesus Christ call them? He said, "Your throats are like a whited sepulchre. You're nice and proper on the outside, you look great. But inward, you're full of dead men's bones." And we need to watch what we are full of ourselves. We can look great on the outside, but what's on the inside of us? And because that's going to filter through to the believers that come along, the next ones that come in. Does God really want people ripping into each other?
No.
Is he going to give us the people so that everybody can rip each other to pieces?
No.
He's not. And there's one common ground we should all be upon, and that is Jesus Christ. And I've seen it in India, and I've seen it here in England in a small portion, but there's even a lot of people here that say, "I believe," but when you see the way they are, you think, do you? And it hurts, because I came into this and I saw these believers, wonderful people, and these leaders, I'm following these leaders, but then you see this, you hear that, and you think, oh my gosh. And then I read what Jesus Christ went through, and he said to his people, "All that came before me were thieves and robbers, but my sheep didn't hear them." And I read that scripture and I thought, wow, Lord, are you saying that? I'm your sheep. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. It's you I want to hear. Right? Every morning, first thing I do when I wake up now, and I started doing it again, I slipped out of this, but I've slipped back into it again, thank God, is writing my scripture with Tamra's thing. I don't go by what somebody else tells me. I go by what's in my heart. What comes to heart? The first verse of scripture every day is Matthew 6:33-34. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It doesn't say pick your Bible up. It doesn't say Holy Spirit. It says the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? We've got it inside us. It's called the Holy Spirit. Everything that Christ is within us. Everything that God is within Christ. So that's within us, right? Seek ye first that kingdom and his righteousness. Not our own. Not anyone else's righteousness. Yeah, but I'm still right in what I'm saying. No. God is right. He's the only one that is right. And Jesus Christ is the express image of God. And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. And all these things, everything you need in your life, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, material, financial, relationships, anything, you name it, it will be there. Because God will add it to you. If I need work, I get work. If I need finances, I get whatever I need. He gives to me. If I need comfort, I get comfort.
If he needs a cup of coffee, he gets a cup of coffee.
Yeah, amen to that one. That's every day. So, and then, you know, scriptures run on from there. And I can go on for ages just going through the scriptures in my mind. And it gets me where I should be. And I speak in tongues. All the things. Because these things are important, but I'm not doing it as a law. I'm doing it from my heart, and what comes to my heart, I'm like, right, get that scripture in there. It backs off the enemy, right? From my life personally, then I can go out and have a cracking day. there's tons and tons of stuff in me I can show, but I'm going to cut it short there.
Well, bless your heart.
Thank you for...
That's great. That's like, that's really wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, we will hand it over to Anna and Pedro. God bless you guys. Woo!